Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it's another edition of Where's Waldo today on Call to Action Radio, as I am not in Raleigh, North Carolina. I've mentioned this, I think, a couple times last week. I am in Nashville, Tennessee, Gaylord, the massive. This is like, it's got its own zip code, basically. The Gaylord Marriott runs it now, but it's a whole convention center. The hotel is this whole inside city thing. Just incredible. I'm tired because you have to walk everywhere in here, and it's just like city blocks and city blocks and city blocks to get anywhere. But I'm here for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, which starts tomorrow. But today, after I'm done here, I'll be heading downtown Nashville for the red carpet premiere of I Can Only Imagine from our good friends John and Andy Irwin. And then there's an after party there, so that's going to be exciting. Mercy Me is there, and all the stars from the movie will be there. So I'll be on the red carpet doing some interviews, which I'll cut up and play back later this week on the show. But we might hear from John and Andy. They're downtown messing around with all the red carpet stuff and trying to deal with all that, all the little details that you could imagine would come into play. But there's somebody in this whole story that hasn't been on the show with me before. And I suppose you can either cheer for him or maybe blame him. It just depends on what position you take. Mr. Hank Irwin, who is John and Andy's father and a radio guy himself, and it was also a part of the story. If you saw Woodlawn, you're going to hear about an interesting intersection there between Hank's story and the Woodlawn story, which all, of course, was true and just incredible what John and Andy Irwin are doing. But Hank, I'm so glad this worked out. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Glad to be on your show. What a wonderful time. Did you bring your tuxedo?
No. It said you don't have to use black tie, but dress kind of classy or I think it was dressy. I'm not a black tie guy. I don't know if you noticed that.
Well, radio guys.
Yeah, that's radio guys. Seen and not heard, or heard and not seen. But anyway, you're a radio person, obviously.
Yeah, that's right.
So if we're going to get to know you, John and Andy's dad, where do we start in that story?
You have to start back in 1969 when I was playing baseball at Troy University, and I asked Jesus Christ into my life to be my Savior.
Amen.
And he changed the whole course of my life. And I started to study for the ministry and ended up going to Dallas Seminary in Dallas, Texas, and needed a job to work my way through, and got into radio and just graduated from Dallas but stayed in radio. Mm. And I was in Christian broadcasting back in the 70s all the way up until about 2010 or something like that.
And so what kind of broadcast did you do? What kind of radio did you do?
I started out as a sportscaster in Dallas with the first ever Christian radio sports talk show.
Wow.
And then a TV station called up and said, would you like to do TV? And I said, well, I've never done TV. I don't know anything about it. And they said, we'll teach you. Come with us.
Yeah.
But you have to graduate over into news. And so I said, I've never done that. They said, we'll teach you. So I made the transition, did news. Worked for CBS, worked for ABC, but I began to see in secular journalism, there was this barrier of we only want you to tell one side of the story rather than trying to tell the whole story and the truth of the story. And I said, I'm a Christian, and if I'm going to do something like that, I need to be able to tell the truth to the whole story. So I moved from secular journalism into Christian broadcast talk radio. And started in the 80s, a Christian radio talk show in Birmingham. Stayed on for years. It's still going. But we did something that I really felt a blessing about, which is what you're doing, which I'm so proud of you that you're on the air telling the truth. Because I saw that unless we bring the Word of God into a news story, you really can't get to the truth of the matter.
Yeah, that's right.
And then that's where I dedicated my life to telling the truth on the radio, and I did that for a number of years. And now just seeing guys like you extend that, that makes me so proud.
Yeah, that's awesome. And of course, a lot has happened since the 1980s. We went through really the rise of the religious right and the moral majority and all of that. And so kind of looking back over the last almost 40 years now, Hank, I mean, how do you look at our country and the state of the nation, where we're at, that we have somebody like Donald Trump in the office and the church has ebbed and flowed in terms of political input and political effectiveness. But how do you kind of look at it all now, this many years later?
Well, I was back there in the rise of the Jesus movement, and I was in radio when Ronald Reagan came on the scene.
Wow.
And we were able to galvanize the Christian right into a movement that elected Ronald Reagan. And we had such a tremendous run of prosperity and blessing during the 80s, it was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Then we had to go on the defense in the 90s with the Clintons, and then we were able to give a rise to George Bush and give a pause to the trends that I saw America drifting. They were beginning after the 80s. Even as we saw the whole Christian culture trying to hold the line, America was beginning to drift left. And then it accelerated after George Bush. And now the culture has become so overwhelmed with confusion that we don't know what right and wrong is anymore.
Yeah,
it floats day to day according to what the standards are. So it's so important for Christian radio. Now they have the greatest opportunity and the most necessity to stand for truth and to set up a standard and a banner that says this is the way, walk in it and you'll be safe. Unless we get back to the Word of God and living by the Scriptures, then our country is on limited time.
That's right.
And so guys like you are so necessary, and I say God bless you.
Amen, and right back at you. So as you kind of came through all of that, I mean, being down in Birmingham, Alabama, we all assume that's a red state, and everybody's a Christian. But what kind of reaction did you get to bringing the truth of God's Word to bear against the issues of the day?
It went off the map because people want that. People were looking for somebody that was going to tell them exactly what they were feeling inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
They needed to have somebody vocalize it. And so they were so receptive to Christian broadcasting. And that's why it is so popular today. But we don't have enough guys like you that will be able to stand up against the pressure. The pressure against guys like you. And folks, let me tell you this. You need to pray every day for Steve.
Thank you.
Because the pressure is so strong for him just to be quiet, just to keep it to yourself. Go along and keep everything calm. Don't take a stand. Don't step out. That type of pressure is overwhelming. And a lot of times in the audience, you don't get a chance to see that or hear that, but you need to pray for Steve every day.
Amen. Thank you for that. Yeah, you know it's real because you've been there, done that, and got the T-shirt, I assume. We're talking to Hank Irwin. That's John and Andy's dad. And, of course, I'm here in Nashville for the world premiere tonight of I Can Only Imagine, which we've had John and Andy on a lot in the last couple of months. Super excited for that. I'll be at the red carpet, and we'll grab some interviews that I'll share with you guys later. Live from Nashville, this is Steve Noble on Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back.
I got a message, I got a song, can I get a witness, tell me what's going on.
Welcome back, it's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. I was just hearing I'm live in Nashville with Hank Irwin. That's John and Andy Irwin's dad. You know John and Andy, of course, from I Can Only Imagine, which is open in just a couple of weeks on Friday, March 16th. That is 3/16, which is really cool what the Lord did there timing-wise. But, of course, Woodlawn was the most recent one, then Mom's Night Out, then October Baby, and here in Nashville for that premiere tonight and the National Religious Broadcasters Convention tomorrow. But I did just hear, coming out of the break, I was listening to the end of a 30-second message from my friend Ann Graham Lotz, who's been on the show many times. And you can imagine what the Graham family's going through right now. Billy's out of here, man. He's just loving life. He's with the Lord. He's probably got a lot of people he's talking to, not the least of which would be his wife, Ruth. But Ann and her brothers, Franklin and everybody else in the Graham family, they are overwhelmed this week. And on Ann's behalf, I would ask you to pray, just because she's a friend of mine, because she lost her husband Danny 2 years ago, and now her dad went on to be with the Lord and expected, of course, with her father. But her father outlived her husband, and that's tough. And God's using all this extra time that Ann has on her hands now for ministry. But do me a favor and just lift up my friend Ann Graham Lotz in prayer, and I'll probably pray for her on the break here in a couple of minutes. But I would just appreciate it if you guys would do that for her and the rest of the Graham family. Talking to Hank Irwin today about his experience in radio and all the ministry he's done, and now he's got these two wild boys, John and Andy, out there doing just such great work for the Lord, and really, it's been cool to watch. What's your favorite part now, Hank? And then I'm going to back up and talk to you about the Jesus movement and your involvement in the story of Woodlawn. But What's your favorite thing about watching all this happen now? With John and Andy are making movies and screeners and people reacting, and with Woodlawn, how many people made professions of faith in Jesus Christ? What's your favorite about this whole wild world that you guys are in?
I guess if you say as a father to watch my boys, that the favorite thing I have is that they have not surrendered their love for Jesus Christ in order to get a break in Hollywood.
Yeah, amen.
They are true to their faith. They are, you know, I remember when John became a Christian as a young child and Andy became a Christian as a young child. I baptized both of them, and they stayed the faith. They stayed the course of their life following the Lord. And when they got into this idea of making movies, I remember, and I told you a little bit earlier, and I don't know if I said it again, but let me repeat that. That when John was 12, he came to me and said, Dad, I think God is calling us to make motion pictures. He said, I think we're called to be missionaries to the movie theater.
Wow.
And I said, well, go for it. So I bought them their first camera and their first editing system and just turned them loose. And they started making missionary videos that really honored the Lord and honored missionaries. And I saw the possibilities of some amazing things that these kids could do. And they embraced the wow factor that I taught them, and make whatever you do a wow, and you'll go a long way. But in all of that artwork and all of that theater and all of that industry, they never have surrendered their trust and faith in Jesus Christ. They will tell you today that the Lord is the key to their success and that he deserves all the glory.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me proud as a dad.
Yeah, that's what's been fun to get to know them first, just as guests on the radio show and now as friends and working on some things together. And I'd like to labor alongside those guys and help in any way I can, because you can see how the Lord is using them and the talents that he gave them in the first place. It's great to watch them bring all that to the altar and sacrifice it back to him. But yeah, they are unwavering in their commitment, and they talk about it. Andy was in Raleigh recently. We had a screening of I Can Only Imagine, and he talked about that, their absolute commitment to evangelism and using this gifting and using these opportunities to proclaim the good news and to show people real life stories of that kind of change. And man, people just continue to react in amazing ways.
Yeah, and what amazes me, I remember when John was a little kid, I said, this is the most talented kid I have ever seen in my life. He can fix anything. And then Andy was the artist in the family. He is the one that when you watch our films, Andy is to art like Thomas Kincaid was to canvas.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah.
He just makes a beautiful film. John writes the scripts. John a lot of times will shoot the video himself. He'll put the camera on his shoulder and he'll get right in the action. You saw a lot of that in Woodlawn. So John does a lot of the setting up of the shots. Then both of them direct the shots. And then they take all of that raw stuff and then give it to Andy, and he goes back into the cave and he just paints with it. So he's like a Kincaid, and he does beautiful, beautiful work. So the fact that they are good at what they do is just amazing. And as a professional, looking at my kids as a professional, they are very, very good. But for a father looking at them, I just say, praise the Lord. Mm. They have never let down their faith in order to make a big statement in Hollywood. And this is what I hope never happens. I hope Christian kids don't get into this industry trying to make it big in Hollywood at the expense of, I'll set my faith aside
for
a moment
exactly.
So I can get inside.
Because then I'll have a bigger audience
and
then I'll have a bigger platform. But once you've sold your soul down that river, you've lost that kind of power.
You've got to say no compromise. And if we can have that from kids, and we see them coming, we've got a lot of kids that are in this movie, Imagine, that have that strong faith in Christ, and they are making a wonderful debut in this movie. Everybody's going to love it.
Yeah.
So that's what's exciting to me, to see that type of commitment to Jesus Christ.
Well, you mentioned Woodlawn, so let's go back and what was your part in that whole story? Woodlawn, of course, a true story down there in Alabama, two competing high school football teams, and then there's just this amazing move of God. This took place during the Jesus movement. So where were you in this whole story?
When I first got saved in 1969, I started working with athletes because I was playing baseball in college. And I started thinking about going on staff with Campus Crusade. But I didn't know enough of Bible. I was very young in the faith, so I thought I need to know more Bible. So I studied and got some Bible and then came back to Birmingham to work with high school students and got matched up with a football team by the name of Woodlawn.
Wow.
And so we worked with them and saw some amazing adventures. The whole team got saved. The whole team came down in a meeting and got down on the floor in the gym and with tears in their eyes gave their hearts to Christ. And then for the next 2 years, I was their chaplain.
Yeah, so in the movie, that was played by Sean Astin, who we all know from Lord of the Rings and all that kind of stuff, and Mom's Night Out. But was it you and somebody else in this whole arena back then?
Yeah, there was two people. Sean played two people. He played a dual role of me and an evangelist named Wales Goble. Wales Goble of Birmingham. And Wales was big in high schools at that time.
Yeah.
And he spoke to Woodlawn, and the revival occurred, and then he made me the chaplain. Said, you're going to go in there and teach them now what to do. So I became the chaplain.
Wow.
So the movie starts out with Wales, then goes to me, and then goes back to Wales, and it ends. But Sean plays both of us. So the idea is Woodlawn is a true story of a team that played for Christ and saw amazing things happen on the field. And as a result, we've seen over 25,000.
Isn't that amazing?
25,000 decisions for Christ.
Just crazy. So did you have to coach Sean Astin so that he would get Hank Irwin right?
Well, I sat down with Sean.
You don't strike me as a diva that would walk in there and say, hey, buddy, listen.
We did have supper one night, and I said, if you're going to play me, you've got to understand what makes me tick.
Yeah, good.
And so we basically went through the gospel. I went through the gospel with him, and he said, I understand. And whereas he didn't make a full commitment, he did come in under the radar and became a committed Christian.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're talking to Hank Irwin, and one of his boys, Andy, just walked in. He just snuck in back there, so we'll get Andy on here when we come back talking about, we're talking about Woodlawn. We'll talk about what God did then, what he's doing today with, I can only imagine, the big red carpet premiere tonight. This is Steve Noble live from Asheville back with Hank Irwin and his son, one of them anyway, Andy. We'll come right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble live from the Gaylord Nightmare. I mean, it's a cool place, but it's so big. It's overwhelming and it's tiring. And it just, I'm here for a couple of days and I just can't wait to get home. But anyway, it's exciting to be here. We've got the red carpet premiere of I Can Only Imagine tonight at downtown Nashville. And so excited to be there. I'll be in the red carpet grabbing some interviews and I'll share that with you guys over the next week or so. But right now we're still hanging out at Gaylord with Hank Irwin, who's John and Andy's dad. And then Andy just showed up because he's been buried downtown trying to get ready for this premiere. And Andy, welcome back to the show, man. Are you okay? Are you all right?
You're a great friend, but the fact that you put this at the far end of the complex and I had to go up four flights of stairs without an elevator and then you put me directly on the air,
yes.
That's cruel and unusual punishment.
Yes, it is, and that's that's just how I show people.
Yeah, I know. So if I'm huffing and puffing over here, just ask my dad questions.
Because you're doing great. You've lost all this weight. You're getting more healthy every day. I'm just trying to help.
Add exercise to it, I guess. I guess I'm going to add some exercise.
Anyway, so how are things going down there?
Good. It's always – anytime my brother is in the building, it's controlled chaos. So I think he was flip-flopping the room and putting the red carpet over here and there. And, it's always usually the right decision, but in the midst of it, it's a tornado. So
yeah.
John is doing his thing, and I decided to come be with you guys on the radio.
You took the escape valve and got out of there.
Yeah, I was like, I got a radio interview.
I got to go to this radio, dude. So anyway, it's been great getting to know your dad. And having him on the show finally.
I'm a fan.
And a radio veteran.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sitting here, trying to do my best and measure up in some way. But the fact that now you have – your dad's here and family and everything. I mean, what's it mean for you to be able to do stuff like that and include your parents?
It's been a special part of the journey. I mean, like he probably told you with Woodlawn, that started as a bedtime story that he would, act out all the parts, and that's where we fell in love with storytelling. And so when we got into this crazy hobby that grew out of control of film, we decided, hey, let's do the Woodlawn story as a movie. That's got to be a movie. And so that's where a lot of our love of storytelling comes from, is my dad has these epic either dreams or ideas or stories that he's always telling us, hey, what if you did this? And so that's kind of where we got our love of that. But to be able to come back to NRB and do the premiere here the night before NRB, I mean, this was his old stomping grounds. I mean, this is where we used to come as kids and watch him do his thing. And so the ability to come back full circle, it's just kind of that circle of life. It's pretty awesome to watch and to kind of experience in a whole new way.
Yeah, it's really cool to kind of to get the two generations going here.
Yeah.
Because I've only had you guys.
Yeah.
No offense. I mean, I love you and John.
Everybody says once they talk to my parents, and specifically my mom, but my dad and my mom, when they get them on the air, they're like, hey, we don't need you guys anymore. We got your parents. I'm like, what are they saying?
Yeah, have a nice day. See you.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's so funny. And also, when you meet people's parents, it starts to help you make sense of that person.
Yep.
So you meet you, and I haven't met your wife yet, and hopefully I'm sure I will tonight.
By the way, she's got a new book she's getting ready to roll out.
Oh, that's cool.
Probably going to come out later in the year. It's called From Homeschool to Hollywood, and it's the story of the boys, how they rose from homeschooling to Hollywood, and how they are just, the Lord is just blessing everything that they're doing in a remarkable way. And it has all of the inside secrets that I think every parent would enjoy reading.
That's a great story. And because we're a homeschool family, all four of our kids, the oldest one's out now, he's 22. But yeah, we can actually grow up. You know, our kids can grow up and be rational, engaging people in the public and make something of their lives.
Contributing to society. You know, I think that book has plenty of embarrassing pictures of me and John. So, you know, I don't know what's in it, but, you know, I'm sure it's great. So
that's so funny. So who will be there tonight? Because I know it'll be a big blowout.
Yeah. It's you know, I think you know, I might be in a little bit of hot water because, you know, we're having the Schermerhorn, which is the big symphony hall.
Yeah.
And it's a 1500 seat venue, and we completely sold out of tickets, and so much so that there's a lot of people that wanted to come that can't. And so we're having to kind of try to, we've invented every seat you can have in the building. So a lot of great music artists. We chose Nashville because it's a music story. It's a celebration of how a song can change your life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're going to have a great crowd of, you know, faces and singers that you love, like, you know, the guys from For King and Country, and the Skillet is going to be there. And I think Brad Paisley may be coming. And so Scott Hamilton, the figure skater, is the gold medalist, is hosting it for us.
Cool.
And it's helping to raise awareness and money for his cancer organization called Scott Cares. So he's become a dear friend, and he's helping out tonight, and flew back and skipped the closing ceremonies of the Olympics.
Yeah, because that was last night, wasn't it?
To be able to fly here here in time today. So we're deeply grateful.
Now, Hank, what did you think when you heard the story behind I Can Only Imagine?
I was overwhelmed. I loved it. And I was so proud that the boys got the story and dedicated themselves to telling the story and telling it with the joy and the quality that would just move everybody that would see it.
Yeah.
And they told it. They picked the actors they picked were just perfect for the role. And the way they shot it and the way they edited it and wove it together, it turned out to be a fascinating movie. And if you enjoyed Woodlawn, this is 10 times better than Woodlawn.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a quality film. And I told Andy and them when we saw it, I said, this is your best work yet.
Oh, yeah.
Best work yet.
Then I paid him $100 to see that.
By the way, that's why I need two tickets.
Okay.
Get on that. Don't mess it up, Andy, because now you got all kinds of witnesses.
I told him,
here.
I was like, Dad, my hands are tied. If you guys have not done your RSVP, you're going to have to be getting scalp tickets on this corner.
I'll give you my seat. Yeah, so I've seen it five times, so I think I can afford to give it to you. So, I mean, speaking to all the people that are listening to us. And by the way, we recently went on in northern Minnesota. We're on in Hawaii now.
Oh, cool.
And starting next Monday, we'll be live in San Francisco.
Wow.
Talk about an interesting playground to be in. So we're excited about
that.
But Hank, how should we use this movies? As Christians, how should we use specifically this one? I Can Only Imagine. What kind of fruit would you pull off that tree in terms of ministry and using it to reach people and help people?
This is the, if you ask me, this is the greatest father-son movie I have ever seen. Because there are so many fathers and sons that have gone through life and have experienced hurts, maybe resentments, maybe disappointments that their father didn't come through like he should, and there's an alienation, maybe even a bitterness there. This movie is a healing balm of good salve to help people put down the hurts and rebond with fathers and sons. Matter of fact, in some of the test things, and I'm sure that you've seen some of these screenings, fathers and men are coming out of the theater weeping because it has struck a nerve. And I think this is going to be so effective in every church in America. And matter of fact, even in our own whole culture, secular and Christian, because there is so many hurting men out there who have lived through life with either a father that has abandoned them or there was no father at all. This movie helps heal men.
Yeah, because you got about 42% of kids in America today growing up without a father in the home.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, it's epidemic proportions.
Yep.
And after the last screening, the one in Raleigh, Andy, when you were out there a couple weeks ago, I mean, people were texting me and sending me messages for the next couple of days that it had brought things up that they hadn't thought about or dealt with in years.
Right.
And then the message of hope, because you see it come back around. You see Bart's dad, you see Dennis Quaid's character come to faith and all of a sudden repair this relationship that looked beyond redemption. And I said, well, what about it? What really grabbed your heart? And they came back. Every one of them said, it gave me hope. I didn't have any hope before.
Which is very similar to what the song does. I mean, you know, when you talk to somebody about I Can Only Imagine, they don't talk about the musical notes or the tune or any of that type of stuff. They go straight to talking about a story in their life where they desperately needed hope. And it delivered it in droves of imagining a place without pain and imagining a place where Jesus has wiped away every tear. And so because of that, it just elicits this yearning in the human soul to hope for something better. And I think that, I think that hopefully we've delivered that same thing. I think I agree with what my dad's saying, that about the fathers and sons or wherever you're out in life, it really gives you a message of hope that you can take away and know that God has a wonderful plan for your life.
Yeah, and there's another thing, and we're coming up on a break, and I want to touch on this in the last segment. It's the notion of having a dream. Now, look, you're sitting next to your son, Andy, who's living out a dream that started when they were wee little lads back in Birmingham. But that was another thing in that movie that, you know, I think we sometimes as Christians, we won't go down that road because it's almost like it's wrong to have dreams that look like they're worldly somehow. But I want to have a really successful band, or I want to make movies, and we sit there and go, oh no, that's not religious enough or something of that flavor. But when I come back, I want to talk about that, pursuing your dreams. We're talking to Andy and Ank Herwin. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Now, did you notice something that happened?
Mm-mm.
Well, we'll see, because I think my clock is off. So right now, we're supposed to be – I think we're actually still on.
That's fine.
So, I mean, that's live radio.
Yeah, that's live
right?
radio. No
and if you can't handle that, get off the porch.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I'm sitting there going, I'm waiting for the cue. I'm looking at the clock
this
going –
This next segment is brought to you by Chevrolet.
Don't – now, see, now I'm probably going to have to pay somebody because you said Chevrolet on live radio.
They should pay you.
I think they should pay me. Yeah, that's right. So say it again, and let's double our fee. See, there it is. See, now my clocks are all messed up, but that's live radio, and you just go with it. And God is pleased anyway. And if God doesn't have a sense of humor, Hank, we're all in big trouble.
He has a sense of humor.
He would have to be. We're talking to Hank Herwin. We're talking to Andy Herwin. John is somewhere rearranging furniture and carpets and stuff like that. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, live from Nashville at Opryland. Next door to Opryland, we're at the Gaylord Big Convention Center. National Religious Broadcasters Convention starts tomorrow. But tonight, the red carpet premiere of I Can Only Imagine, which opens nationwide on March 16th. Yes, that's 3/16. God just having a little fun there. And so excited about that tonight, the red carpet event. And then are you guys showing it again, Andy, here at the convention?
Yeah, so we're it's back-to-back night. So we got the premiere tonight. Will be downtown, and then tomorrow night it's a full day. So Mercy Me's playing in the morning here. Dennis Quaid is doing a keynote Q&A at the main hall, and then I think Vice President Pence, I believe.
Yeah, he's going to be here tomorrow.
And we've already shown it to him, and he and his wife watched a cut of it at the Bible Museum, and that was phenomenal to get to show it to him. And then that night we're going to show it to the General Assembly. Yeah. So it'll be
I didn't know Mercy Me was doing a little concert tomorrow morning.
I believe so, but I'm probably completely wrong because I don't know for a fact that I'm in Nashville right now.
And
so.
Who's – you guys never know where actually.
I was in Indianapolis to L.A. and L.A. back to Nashville yesterday, so I'm kind of confused.
And now what'd you – Hank, what'd you think? We're talking to Hank Irwin as well, Andy and John's dad. What'd you think of Dennis Quaid's performance in this movie?
I was overwhelmed. I was blown away. Dennis Quaid, if he doesn't get nominated for some type of an award for his performance in that movie, then I'm at a loss for words. Dennis Quaid actually just went off the charts,
yeah,
bringing the father of Bart to life. And I was so glad to see that Dennis Quaid got the role of that daddy. He nailed it. And he crushed it. And it's one of the finest performances in a Christian movie I have ever seen in my life.
He did such a good job. I don't know if I told you this, Andy. You met my daughter, Caroline, when you were in town. He did such a good job. My daughter is scared to death of Dennis Quaid. I'm like, yeah, but look what happened at the end. And look at that smile. She goes, I know, but he was just so mean and angry, and he just looked like there was something wrong with him.
Yeah.
And Gina, my wife, and I were like, but the transformation on screen, just facial expressions, the look in his eyes, everything was just amazing. And I was shocked to see Dennis Quaid in this film in the first place, but I was blown away by his performance.
I was going to say, how did you feel watching him through the camera?
You know, when we cast him, we just had a hunch that, you know, the Lord just really made it obvious he was the guy. We were really had five people that we were considering in the role, and as we went along, Stephen Kendrick, the Kendrick brothers, encouraged us that if God was in this movie, that we couldn't miss his best, and so to accept any closed doors as God directing us to the right one. So Dennis was the one that we zeroed in on, and you know, we hadn't seen anything that he had done before that was anything like this role. He's always the clean cut, really nice guy.
Yeah, the all American guy, and big smile on his face.
Yeah, and so he accepted the role and embraced how rough the character was. And it was about his third or fourth day on set, and went up to him. I was like, "You were absolutely just killing it in this role. It's incredible to watch you bring this to life." And he said, "I love this character. Nobody has ever let me show transformation like this on film." He said, "I'm always the good guy that gets a little bit better, and to go from a guy that is this rough to somebody that's transformed like this is just a gift." And he said, "I love it." And he said, "It's how God does his miracles the hard way sometimes." And so it was really cool to watch.
Well, share that story, because you were in, I think you were in San Diego, and then he was like, "I want to see it."
Yeah.
And you went up there, and then something happened as a result of him seeing it with his kids.
Dennis is the only person I've met that's a bigger tornado than my brother. But Dennis got word that I had showed Bart and the band the film for the very first time in San Diego. It wasn't even fully, you know, complete. And he said, he's like, "When do I get to see it?" And I'm like, "Well, I wasn't planning on showing it to you for several months, Dennis." And he's like, I want to see it tonight." And I'm like, "Okay, I can drive it up to your house." So I drove up to L.A., went to his house, and we watched it in his house with his twin kids. And they're nine or ten. And it got to the end of it, and I turned around and just said, "What'd you think?" And when I turned around, the dude was ugly crying. I'm talking snot nose.
Yeah, the whole nine.
It really hit a chord with him, and he just said that was powerful, and hugged my neck a couple of times and didn't say much, and I made my way out. They called Bart that night, and they talked for about 5 hours.
Wow.
And he just kept he said, "Bart, when Andy left, my kids started me asking me questions about God and about heaven." And he said, "Things that we'd never really talked a whole lot about." And he said, "This movie is about how God does his miracles the hard way sometimes."
Yeah.
And he said, "I'm totally in." And so, and because of that, he is out in front of this film this whole week promoting it, just because he believes in it so much. So much so that he actually crashed the Mercy Me concert two nights ago in Dallas.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, it was 2 minutes before encore. And then all of a sudden somebody says to Bart, "Hey, Dennis is at the side of the stage." And he turns, and Dennis is standing on the side of the stage, has his guitar in hand.
Oh, wow.
And came out and sang "I Can Only Imagine" part, which is really good.
How cool is that? Oh, my goodness. Is he going to be there tonight, or is he coming in tomorrow?
Yes, he'll be there tonight. He's going to be there tonight. He'll be here at NRB tomorrow. Then we're flying to New York for press week in New York. And then we cap off the week back here in Nashville on the 4th. He is opening for Mercy Me at the Ryman.
Wow, that is so cool. What an amazing – it's like one thing after another.
Yeah, it's going to be a magic week.
God just kind of showing off, isn't he, Hank?
Oh, it's unbelievable. This is a phenomenal film and a phenomenal tool that God is going to use, I think, to bring hope to America.
Yeah, amen.
And healing to America. So I want everybody to support it. Get your church in, buy out a theater, and take your neighbors.
I wanted to close with this thought. I mentioned this before the break, but another part of the movie that really is driving Bart, and where he has a lot of problems with his dad, is his dad just is absolutely a dream killer. that, hey, this is real life. This is it. Don't go playing off with these dreams. Forget it. And I think as parents, oftentimes, you know, if your 12-year-old, your 10-year-old boy is like, hey, I want to make films one day. And you go, oh, that's nice, Andy, or that's nice, John. That's really cute. But, you know, you really should do something that's a little more predictable. And I think oftentimes we could be thwarting the will of God in our kids' lives if we don't let them dream.
Yeah.
If they have something they're passionate about, we shouldn't try to talk them out of it. We should sow into it.
Yeah, that's what, you know, I was pleased and humbled to be able to do that with the boys when they wanted to start making films. I said, well, go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. I mean, you never know you can get to a dream unless you go for it. And sometimes the parents just think in terms of, oh, we don't want them to experience defeat or disappointment, so we'll try to tone it down. And sometimes the best thing to do for a kid is to say, go for it, and root them on.
Yeah.
And you never know what God will do.
Yeah, because there was it was either Time or Newsweek several years ago. It was about 10 or 12 years ago. They did a huge nationwide poll. They spoke to about 10,000 people. And at the end of it, they found out that 10% of people failed miserably, like just totally depressed, failed miserably. 10% of people succeeded beyond their wildest imaginations. But 80% of people led lives of what they called quiet desperation.
Yeah.
Where I owe, so off to work I go, thank God it's Friday, and that whole mentality. But you're seeing it in your own sons' lives, that if we kind of unleash that animal, and that dream came from God, he planted that in there a long time ago, that you can see just unbelievable kingdom-sized things going on.
Amazing things can happen with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you just say, Lord, use me, I don't have an idea how you want to do it, but I am available. Use me any way you want to.
So what kind of politician is or was your dad?
He was an honest one. That's why he decided to get out of politics.
No place in politics for you, Hank. Get out.
I'm lucky to have been, have a dad that's a dreamer. You know, so my dad was the one that would always champion. Same thing that he told Tony, Nathan, and Woodlawn of God's given you a gift. Dream big, dream bold, dream the impossible, because this is a great adventure. We heard that again and again growing up. And I think, you know, imagine hints on the fact that every son wants to have their dad at the end of their life.
Oh, man.
Stand and applaud for him
and say,
hey, well done. You're enough. You did a good job. And to have someone that encourages the dream. So, you know, when I went to, I was at Bible college, went to a missions conference, and somebody asked me one day, they said, you need to be a missionary. And they kind of encouraged me that I needed it at this. And I called my dad and I said, I think I'm going to translate Bibles overseas for the rest of my life. And he kind of laughed himself a little bit. He's like, is that what you want to do? And I was like, well, absolutely not. I thought that's what you had to do to be a good Christian.
Right, yeah, of course.
And he said, Andy, what's...
Be miserable.
He's like, what has God given you? What's in your hand? And I said, well, a camera, but I don't know how God could ever use that.
Wow.
And he said, Andy, give God what's in your hand. Let him figure out how to use it. And that's when I was like, you know, Lord, you know, I've got this camera. I don't know what you could do with it, but I love what I do. And that's where the dream was born. And, you know, John, my brother... had big dreams too, and we just kind of went for it and said, if we fail, we fail.
Yeah.
But a lot of that starts with just having a dad that validates, hey, you know, this is a worthy cause.
Now, Hank, where's your bride in all of this? We haven't really talked about her.
Oh, you'll love her. I met Sheila in 1969. We got married in 1972. We've been married 46 years, and she is fun. If you ever get a chance and you need a guest to have fun on a show, get my wife.
Well, I got to get a copy of that book.
Yeah, got to get a copy of the book from Homeschool to Hollywood, and it'll come out later in the year. And you will love reading it.
What a
it
great
is really
title.
Good. So Sheila is her name, and we are humbled to have two fine sons, and we have two wonderful daughters-in-laws, mm-hmm. and we have seven grandchildren. So we are one happy family.
Yeah,
we're delighted
awesome.
To be here in Nashville and so proud of Andy and John. I am the most proud daddy in the world.
Yeah, hey, that's so awesome. So how is your mom different than your dad?
My mom is always at the center wherever the party is. It's hilarious. You watch her in a room, and she works the room, and she just goes from – she's like a butterfly and just kind of floats around the room from party to party to party. So
yeah.
She's never met a stranger.
That's true.
She can't hide her feelings. She wears them on her sleeve. And she's a really loyal, faithful lady. So just blessed by my parents and glad to have their support.
Yeah.
And glad to kind of full circle come back here to NRB and celebrate.
So, all right. So, Hank, you got to make sure you bring her over to me on the red carpet.
Oh, by all means. You'll see her tonight. She'll be there with me at the red carpet, and you will love her.
Because everybody's going to be over all over you like stink on a monkey.
Oh, I don't know about that. We're going to push them toward the boys. This is their night.
That's so cool. So I look forward to meeting her. I look forward to getting a copy of her book and, of course, being there tonight and getting to know you better. We'll do some more radio together.
Oh, we got to. I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
That's so kind of you. You're very welcome. Andy,
I'm still applying for the co-host job of the show.
That's right. Well, I think you're still at the top of the pile.
Okay,
so I think that's going to happen. So believe me, March 18th, 19th, 20th. When are you going to start feeling normal?
Somewhere March 16th of 2025.
That's when normality will return to Andy Irwin's life. That's a big joke. Insert laughter here. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Friday, March 16th. Get ready. Get people to go with you to see. I can only imagine. God willing, I'll be with you guys again tomorrow.